Nope, the sound is not going to come into trouble anymore. All right. I just want to finish up quickly this last one you hear about the fish together with meat, or fish together with milchigs. L'chore, we saw the Mishnah in the beginning of Kol HaBasar, which made a clear distinction between basar, and then the question, what does basar mean? Does it include basar of? That we discussed. But clearly, when it says dogim and chagavim, that doesn't, the whole issue of basar chav doesn't seem to apply at all with fish. So there should not be any issue with eating dogim together with cholav. And yet, as the Tazir points out in Sikot and Gimel, the Shachat Sikot and Hay, they all point out that the Beis Yosef here in our Siman introduces an idea that you're also not allowed to eat dogim with cholav. Not allowed to eat fish with milk either. Not because of a halachic concern of basar b'chalav per se, but some sort of a sakana. It's considered to be medically dangerous. At least in those days, it was considered to be medically dangerous. So the Shach and the Taz both say that this is a mistake. Beis Yosef didn't mean that. It's a total sophist. Somebody copied it wrong, or Beis Yosef himself got mixed up and someone wrote it wrong, or whatever happens. People make mistakes, and he said, this is a mistake, it's a tov sofer. What they were talking about was not fish with milk. That's for sure not a problem. It's fish with meat. That was the problem. So we discussed this week, well, why is that a problem? What's the problem with fish with meat? So there we saw, the Gemara Pesach and Dafayin Vav talked about a certain type of fish called binisa, and the Gemara there says you're not supposed to roast binisa to eat, if you roast benisa together with meat, so then you shouldn't eat it with milchiks. And that's the sugya of recha milsa, which we'll discuss at length when we get there. But because the assumption is the flesh has, some of the flesh's flavor is absorbed by the fish, and you shouldn't eat that fish now, turn around and eat that fish with milchiks. Yeah, but that's the first opinion. Rova miparzika. Marbar Avashi said, no, you shouldn't eat that fish at all. Even if it's not nefarious, even milk, you shouldn't eat it. I think the example is you don't eat it with salt. I mean, you don't eat it by itself. Don't eat anything because since it absorbs the flavor of flesh, the fish together with the flesh flavor, that's considered some kind of sakana. It says kasha with recha. I think we saw in the Mordechai reach hapeh gives you offensive breath and so on, and also davar acher, which is a euphemism for in this case for tzaraas. Again, does it mean halachic tzaraas? Just means some kind of a skin ailment or whatever it means. But there's some sort of danger with it. So that was basar dogging with basar. Again, that's what the Rishach and the Taz assumed that the Beis Yosef must have meant. Didn't mean dogging with chalav. Dogging with chalav, no problem at all. Dogging with basar, that's a problem. And it's not even a halachic problem, we say, but rather it's a medical problem. Then we discussed, because the dangerous, and then we discussed whether shishim would work or not, because shishim works in the realm of Issa Heter, but it may not work in the realm of health, right? And perhaps a little bit of poison, we discussed at some length last time, a little bit of poison is also dangerous. I and the laws of shishim apply to the world of Issa Heter, but don't necessarily carry over to the world of sakana, and it could be a little bit of sakana that is also to be avoided. So that's a question that Taz seemed to say. Then there was also a discussion, what do you mean by having the fish with the flesh? Meaning mamish was cooked with flesh or just in the same pan, or what about b'dievet? So I think we summarized last time based on the Be'er Sheva that actually three different shitas. The Darkei Moshe says, l'chatchila, it's also b'dievet, it's mutter. Okay. Now he said the Marshal said even chatchilat mutter. The Marshal rejected the whole thing, and then the Be'er Sheva said even the Eved. He said that it's a problem. So he was more machman. There was some question about what about as I say the slide showed some tshuvas at the end of this time. The Shvus Yaakov. The Yaakov Reishis, which was Yaakov, was talking about what if it's Shuma, does this apply to, okay, so we have this issue of basar with fish. What about Oaf, Psar Oaf with fish? Is it the same sakana? It's only real regular basar, only red meat. So he talked about Shuman Avaz, goose fat. Okay, is that the same thing? And he said, hello, do I Yeshoma, the ain't sakana, rak, Psar Behema? Not for Shakana, Shana came to Oaf. So that's a question which he asked for. Which he delves into. And then you have quote another tshuva, and at the end of which he says, Das achoron lahokel levat l'bashishim in lahachim is one of that cloud, and especially nowadays when we know it seems there probably is no danger, we're making with it. I just want to point out something I didn't say in the in the Pesachei Tshuva, I print a long Pesachei Tshuva here, not our Simon Pezayin, but in Simon Kuf Tezayin. Simon Kuf Tezayin, your day is a simon about all these different dangerous types of, allegedly dangerous types of foods, at least the Chazal thought were dangerous. And I said before, you know, I know it's a big debate. I personally thought that it makes sense to say that the Chazal operated with the best medical knowledge that they had available to them at that time. Right? Did they know everything? They didn't know everything. They didn't know medical discoveries were made. They knew certain things, but we know today certain things, you know, that they didn't know, and that's okay. It's that they operated with the medical knowledge that they were dealing with at that time. So the Pesachei Tshuva, in the course of that discussion, Sukkot and Gimel, says if the whole thing is a tom-based issue, that fish with a tom of meat, okay, has some sort of a danger. And we remember we contrasted it maybe to the what they thought that the Mayim Megulim, the water that was left uncovered, there was afraid the snakes climbed into the water. I just saw unbelievable. I just saw the thing on the news and you know in the headline. I didn't read the whole story. Some house woman thought that there was a snake in the house, and they uncovered there were underneath the house. They had 90 rattlesnakes underneath. Had set up a nest underneath the house. Imagine that. I forgot where it was. I think in California somewhere. 90 snakes underneath. You know, so we don't have to worry too much about snakes. But if I mention this because someone in my shul, who's a son, the parents died in my shul. The son was married, lived in Boston for a while, and just moved to Arizona, to Phoenix. And when they were looking for houses in Phoenix, so told them that this house, this blocks are okay, but sometimes there are snakes in the backyard. You know, I said, oh, okay, we'll look at a different neighborhood. You know what I mean? Like, you know, apparently out there, you know, it's more common, I guess, to have it. We don't have it too often here. But anyway, but even if we have them, I think it's understood today that snakes, they don't do that. That's not their venom. They don't, when they drink water, they don't project their venom into the water. It's not the issue. That's a question. So we choshev from my mekula or not. On the other hand, the Gemara, the poskim thought that it was a problem with snake. That's not butter because it's very strong. But here, the flavor of the fish, the meat and the fish is not so strong, maybe a bit delicious. But he says, because you're asking the question, why not just add, if the issue is the tom issue, why not just add more meat? I'll tell me, ain't about nisa chatchila. What's the answer? It's not an issue. There's no issue, right? Ain't about nisa chatchila. You know, you don't create the situation of bitul, but here you're trying to nullify a potentially dangerous thing. Good, so that wouldn't be a violation. Right? That's what the Pesachei Tshuva discusses. After be surm also the host of Mishmavat nisa chatchila, which we'll get to in the Simtzari test, you know, the end. But he says, that you have this flavor is an impact, you know. So therefore, he feels that bittul should work. And so on the other hand, he concludes that, you know, that even if the so he wants to be lenient. And certainly if you add more meat. I just want to mention that point because again, we have to mention, as I said at the end of the year last time, there's an intersection here between two worlds. There's a world of there's a world of sakona, and the rules don't necessarily match up. Okay, just a couple other things on that front. Okay, you see Gemara's that talk about this. We're up to number 29. I told you Aruch HaShulchan 28 gave a brief summary, but I just want to move on to finish up that part, this part of the shir. It says in 29, Ravin Barav Ada Omar Kilchis Be'ilfas Hava Kilchis, Rashi says there in 30, Rashi's Kilchis means sheket dogim ktanim, small fish, sheket means non-kosher, small non-kosher fish. And it ended up, if they got cooked by mistake, ilfis a pat, okay, a pat, shalbos, a fleshing a pat. So now what's the question? Okay, so they asked Rabbi Yochanan what to do. Does that trafe up the pot? And so on and so forth. And it trafe up what's in the pot. So he says, Amu litame kfela aramor. And that's an important thing to know. We'll talk about it at much greater length later on. But a kfela means like a chef or an expert taste person, expert taste tester. A person who's in the food preparation industry whose whole life, that's what he does. He's always tasting. They need more spices or this is no good. Right? The chef, a professional kfela, is a professional cook, a professional person who knows taste, who's right, you know, can tell when something tastes a certain way. So aramoa means literally from Aram, but that means a goy. It means a goy. That doesn't mean it comes from Aram. Latame kfela aramoa. Right? Rashi says, nachtam avodah kavod. Nachtam means a baker. It doesn't mean it's a baker, a cook. You can't tell him, you're not supposed to tell him, well, we have a halachic question, so we're not allowed to eat something that has this flavor. There, you're afraid you might influence him one way or the other. So just ask him, God, what does this taste like to you? You know, I want to know if it's what it tastes like. And it's called Mesiyah Fitumo. He's not addressing a particular halachic issue. He's just telling you what it tastes like. We can rely on him. Don't tell him we need to know. Is it kosher? Because then he's, you know, is either, you know, he'll want to make you feel good. Oh, no, it's no problem. It's kosher. You know what I mean? Or he'll, the other way, he'll want to, you don't want to prejudice him one way or the other. That's Krela Armor. Okay, now, again, but this is an issue where there apparently was a concern, at least in this Gemara, about fish with meat, but that was because it was non-kosher, right? That may or may not be, you know, relevant, may or may not be relevant to our discussion. The Kolbo, in Simon Chav Gimel 31, quotes Reish Member of Meir, that's Maram Rutenberg. Maram, we saw this before. Maram noto yodav kishochol bosa v'rotza lechol dogim. The chamira sakanta meisur. He would wash his hands in between. We saw that sheet already. The Torah. And not by husband, some kufayim gimel, quotes his father, the Rosh. So these are important Ashkenazi authorities, the Rosh and the Maram Rutenberg, who felt that you had to wash your hands between, you know, between meat and fish. Okay. Now, again, the Bach says one could disagree. Near the Mashal 33. Near the Mashal Rabbeinu Medivar Ben Tam, because of Od Ben Tavshel Tavshel Shneim Shabbos Shneim Shabina Lama Lito Yodav Klal. The Mai Kusha Dimon Shneim Shabbos because Echad Basar Behem Hashem Basar Dogim. Sometimes Basar, even though I said to you, we don't usually refer to fish as Basar, but it could be that we do call it Basar Dogim. Anyway, he says the concern is that. This whole thing he feels is a chum yaseir of the Bach, because the whole concern, again, where do we start? Let's remember where we started from. That Gemara Pesachim was Binisa. If you look back in the first page, was the first source on this topic, where was it again? Pesachim and Rabban Bey, where is it? Six. Hay Binisa de Itva was roasted. The only problem is when it's roasted together, just Tom. You had a, you know, gefilte fish, now you're going to have some chicken soup after the Friday night. So he says, you know, there's no chashash of this whole problem. Okay. All right. But the Rosh used to be chashash for it. At the end, the Bach says, the meaning is like the Rosh. I don't know, is that true? I'm not sure. Okay. The Beis Yosef quotes also. And he says, I don't know where the Maram Rutenberg got it from exactly. And where do you get? You have to wash your hands, or the Rosh. You know, he says, "Below Pirish Mehechan Laman Haram came." Right? He quotes this Kolbo. He says, "I don't know where he got it from. We never saw that in the Gemara." Then he says, "But probably it came from that Gemara Pesachim about the Binisa." Okay, and therefore he says that because we're concerned about Reich Rechapeh and other things, so it's extra careful. The stomach, that's where we got the din from. It's really questionable what the source is. Nonetheless, if you look at the Shulchan Aruch, not by us, but our Chaim Sin Kuf Ayin Gimel 35. Shulchan Aruch says, "Bein Basal Adagim Chove Lito." It's brought in the Shulchan Aruch. Okay, the Mechaber brings down that is Mishum the Kashal Adavar Acher again. It's Taraz. The Chamira is a Kanta Misur. So there you have it. The meaning the Mechaber brings is to wash your hands. However, I'm going to wrong already. And Sukkot Aleph writes, "Be'efshay the Bizman Azeh Ein Sakona." That may be true in the time of the Beis Yosef, in the time of the Rishonim. Today, we know it's not just sakana. The chazinon kama dvarim hamuskarim begemara shem sakana l'ruach ra ushar dvarim va'idna eino mazik d'nishtanu hatvios. He says there are several things which are in various different gemaras, and it's true, and even in the Shulchan Aruch, that they say was a sakana, which today we assume is not a sakana. Now, he gives the reason because nishtanu hatvios. Maybe he doesn't say because they were wrong, okay? In those days, maybe it was right. And I also mentioned to you last time that sometimes it depends on the climate, where you live, what you're used to. Okay, I mentioned about the water, right? When you go to Mexico, you weren't supposed to drink the water. You went to Eretz Yisrael, you had to boil up the water first before drinking it. You know, either people in Eretz Yisrael didn't have to do that because their stomachs were used to it, their body was used to it. It's whatever you're used to. Okay, it was not an uncommon thing that people came to other, to new, even in, I'm talking about the secular world, where people moved to other countries, and they ate the food and drank water from the country, and they made them sick at first. Okay, because whatever was there wasn't, their body wasn't used to. Aside from diseases, I mean, the diseases also spread. You know, when the Europeans came to America, they brought European disease with them, and that wiped out the Native Americans. They had Native Americans, well, they had certain diseases which wiped out the settlers. You know, this was a problem. So therefore, we're going to Rome. Now things are different. Okay, wherever, maybe our communities are different. And he writes, I mention this because he writes, Hakol lefi tevel haratzos. So that's what I'm saying. And we know it's true today. You know, I think in India they say, I read it somewhere, there's some type of a special strong tea that supposedly makes Westerners sick if you drink it. I don't know what they put in it, you know, but it doesn't affect the Indian, I'm not talking American Indians, but Indians. You know, apparently someone I know was a Chabad Shliach somewhere in some province, either Kerala or someplace in India. You know, apparently there's some drink or something like that that's supposed to be very good, and Westerners would drink it, and you drink it a couple of times, you got sick, then you got used to it, it was very good. Yeah, so you had to decide whether it was worth, you know, feeling sick for a little while. All right, anyway, you get what I'm saying. So that's not me, the Magen Avraham. So I call it Fiteva Aratzos. Yeah. Mishnah Berurah also writes in the Kotan Dalet, so Kotan Gimel, first of all, take a look at the Magen Avraham. Okay, so because the Efshu was in it, they were Kamadur and Nishtanu HaTvoim. Okay, I have a little safer at home, so I'm putting a safer of all the Nishtanu HaTvoim. You know, you gather different places. So Kotan Dalet, he says, the Shulchan Aruch says to look in Yerideis and Kuf Tezayin. This is all on Kufan Gimel, that's why there's a Mishnah Berurah. It's an Arachayim. Kufan Gimel is the laws of Suda, right? So he says, you know, B'tzis HaPas and so on. So he said, the Arminikas were not choshish for these things. Okay, but nonetheless, there is a practice, as you know, mentioned Friday night, after people have gefilte fish, they do have a glass of schnapps or have something in between. If Kitzel Shulchan Aruch brings in Siman Lamed Gimel, Siv Beis, 38, Kisha Ochel Dogi Bachaka Boser Al Hefech, Yeish Lechol Benem Ktsas Pas, okay, and Velishtos is a Mashke, Navi Kinoch Vadoha. Okay? All right, so this is, something which he says to be careful about anyway. I just mentioned, I quoted the Kesef Mishnah, Hilchos Deis. The Rambam talks a little bit in Hilchos Deis about things that are good for health, not good for health, right? It's not like all his medical works, but there is, you mentioned Aaron the other day, you know, the Rambam's medical works and somebody, but in Hilchos Deis, he does have things that are recommendations, what priests do is to keep healthy, about eating, about sleeping. And in Perek Dal, Aloch Yud Ches, Kesef Mishnah's commenting, Lo Yakiz Lo Bimosa Chaman, so it talks about Hakozas Dam. Although, you know what causes dam? What causes dam is bloodletting, which was a common medical procedure at one time. Okay, and I think I mentioned we learned how to lead them. Maybe in theory they were right. They understood that disease is transferred in the body through the blood. They were not wrong about that. I mean, blood moves things around within the body. Right, so you can take a pill, you know, because you hurt your toe. You drink it and you put it in your mouth, right? How does that affect your toe? You know, the answer is okay, it's one body. The body operates as one thing. I remember one time we were flying someplace. One of my sons was little. And so we go on a plane, sometimes his ears pop, right, because of the altitude change. So his ears started to hurt him. So if you swallow, so you drink, you swallow, so that, you know, somehow impacts the ear as well. So my wife said, he was a little boy, he said, my ears are hurting. I'll get you some apple juice. You know, he said, you're going to pour apple juice into my ear? Mm-hmm. Okay, little kid, you know, that's what it looked like she was planning. You know, it didn't make much sense to him. But no, the whole body is one body, right? So so they knew about the blood carrying dangerous substances in the body. So they thought, okay, so if I take some of the blood out, some of the bad stuff will come out with it. And that's where they were a little not correct. That's called that causes dam. So the Gemara discusses certain times when it was safe to do kakos dam and not safe to do kakos dam. Because the Mishnah says over there, okay, that the Gemara seems to be against the Rambam, right? And he says, no, but ein midorim elu kushal diber rabbeinu shirfuos hanagos malchus bovel shuvel chachamagor mishur mishar rotzos. Right? Does this worked in Bovel? The climate in Bovel lent itself more to this. The climate where the Rambam was writing in Spain. Maybe not to Solomon, she was different. Okay, so, you know, You get the idea, right? So at that time, they thought it was dangerous. Okay, let's just finish this sugya today. Going back to the comment, the whole discussion here was dogim with meat. And it was some sort of a danger. But as far as dogim with chalav is concerned, no, that's the Beferish HaMishnah. That it's mutter, that the Mishnah says openly. All right, I printed the Mishnah. And of course, 40 again, we saw it the other day. Kol basar also levash v'chalav. Any meat you're not allowed to cook with milk. And of course, eat it also. But meat, and then we had a discussion, includes oaf. Okay, meat, but fish is shuav. Chutz mibsar dogim v'chagavim. But the Mishnah says openly, fish is not a problem. Also, halos imagmin al shulchan chutz misad dog v'chagavim. And I know the bit about mutter misad dog v'chagavim. So clearly, fish and milk is mutter midin of the Mishnah. It says that it's open Mishnah, right? So based on the laws of Issa v'Heter and the laws of Bosu v'Chalav, there's nothing to discuss about the some kind of prohibition to aser milk with fish. It just doesn't exist. So the I must have moved it. No, forget it. Let's get this straight up. I'm sorry. Hold on. I guess I must have touched it. Oh no, that's back on. Okay, I'll move my muddle away from the wire. But okay, sorry. So I printed the Rashi's in there and so on. Rashi says the whole issue of halos al shulchan is because you may come to eat it, right? But there seems to be no problem whatsoever with fish. Okay. Now it's interesting. Tosa's comments over there. All right. Why did I have to say the second time? This we didn't see last time. Look in the language of the Mishnah 40. It says kolabosa osa levash v'chalav chutz mibsar dogin v'chagavim. Good. Then it says again, also lahalos imagbin al shulchan chutz mipsar dog mechagavim. We have to say that again for. That's a Tosa's kasha. Yom Asava also in 43. Hear the kasha. Tosa, you just said fish is not included. Okay, so why do you have to say again? Also lahalos imagbin al shulchan chutz mipsar dog mechagavim. No kidding. Okay, because after all, it says, if the whole, what's the whole issue? Rashi just said, Yom Asava also lahalos in 41. What's the whole reason you're not allowed to put the meat and dairy in the same table? Because you may come to eat it. But you just told me you can cook it. So you can cook it together. So of course you can put it on the table at the same time. You can cook it together. I mean, you can eat it together. So what's the problem? You don't have to have it again. What for? Okay, you just explained to me in the first statement of the Mishnah that, Bsar Dogen is not included in this whole discussion. So of course it's Mutalahal al Shulchan. You hear the kasha Tosas? I mean, you could answer it, so just for what we call it, the symmetry. Okay, but the Tosas says, looking forward to you, also the halos in the shulchan chutz mibsar dog v'chagavim. High chutz, low itzrich. You don't really need this chutz, the second chutz. Okay? Dafilo levashel shari. Right? I mean, cooking it is mutter. If you can cook fish with milk, it's certainly okay to keep it on the same table. Yeah, you can cook fish with milk, you can certainly keep it on the same table. So Tosas points out you don't really need it. Ela agav reisha, nachta, says Tosas. Agav, you're right, it doesn't need it, just it's symmetrical. Right, he said over here, it's not teaching us anything new. So says Tosas. So I just want to point out a side point, but I think it's interesting. The Prima Gadim, and that's say for Rosh Yosef, which I like to look at sometimes. So in the Rosh Yosef there, quotes, I talk on this Tosas, on Chakul and Kuf Gimel Beis, talk on the Tosas with Yimam Asa of Osul Ahalos and Bina Al Shulchan. He says, Hai Chutz, Litzur Tafil of Asul Shari. But he says, one second, let's remember something else. Hine Im Nomar Kemosha Kosam Ramam Zal Perktes Al Chadalim, the Chol Midi Dilo Osul Elamid Rabbonon, Mutta Levashal Vahana Afmid Rabbonon. Let's remember the rule. If it's Mutter to eat, okay, only, if it's Mutter to eat the Raisa, and it's only Osul Rabbonon, so that's mutal of Asho, and b'chein posak har simni, it's in Pesach and Gimel, b'chein posak shulchan aruch, b'shar duchum tuva. In Cain, mireisha ein raya, the haba, no, we need the second, because haba mina, I might have thought, the b'sar dogim b'chagavim mutal of Asho, I might have thought when it says in the beginning of the Mishnah, kol ha-bosa osa levashel b'chol chutz mibsar dog v'chagavim, which are mutal of Asho. Yeah, you know why they're mutal of Asho? Because they're mutal of Asho, because they're asur b'achila d'rabbanan. They're Osir Bachila Drabanan, but Mutter Levashel, but there is an Isra Achila. Could have been Medayik. Hear what the You know what I'm saying? You could have been medayik from that language of the Mishnah. Remember, it says osa levasha. It doesn't mention achila. Okay, it says osa levasha. We understand that it means achila too. But you could be medayik that midrabanan, there is takin issa to have fish with milk. So it's muta levasha, because only osa drabanan to eat. Right? As we said in the Shulchan Aruch, anything in the Rambam, anything which is osa midrabanan to eat is muta bevishul. So therefore, you could have been, you could, knowing that, you could theoretically have been medayik from the language of the Mishnah, that kol ha'basa osa levasha b'chol chutz mitzar dog mechagav, which is mutar levasha. Yeah, it's mutar levasha then because they're osir, they're only osir midrabanan, but they're osir. Okay? Once they're osir to eat midrabanan, then I might have thought that also what? That it's what? It's osir l'halal sal shulchan. Because there is an isir. Hagam, that it's only isir midrabanan, but there is an isir. Okay, well, okay, it's also to eat, okay, but it's mutal vashim d'abonim, even though it's also l'chach tani v'asar hochi. That's why it says the mutal halos dog mechagavim. The second part of the mission is necessary to let us know, no, it's mutar per table, it's not even also drabanan. If you would have just had the first part of the mission, you might have concluded, you might have been medayik that there's this drabanan of fish with chalav. You understand? Because it's only mutar levashel. Okay, good. Mutar levashel sarof also in chalav. Because only also drabanan. But I would have concluded that perhaps there's nisar chila drabanan. So therefore comes the second part of the mission and says that, in other words, basically what the Rambam is telling us here, there's no kol shekein. Okay? In other words, the way Tosas presented it, once you tell me that it's mutar levashel, then kol shekein, it's mutar lahalos al ha-shulchan. So what do you need the second chutz for? You understand, right? That was told, what do you need the second thing for? Kol shekein. So the Rambam is not just a kol shekein, because Bsar Of is mutar levashel, but it's still also lechol v'darbanan. Okay? And therefore also to put on the table. So I might have thought the same thing here also. Okay, so the fact that it's mutter to cook basa dogim with milk doesn't necessarily mean I could eat it. So now back to the program, top of this page. That's why he says, "V'hainu de'bachila lekeis darbonon." The avdarbonon have also allowed to gazin or to achila, and achila to be'edvehema. The law of zero, like zero, it's all one zero. Fine, you follow? So I just want to point that out that. The Pirugodim says it's not necessarily a kol shekein. Okay, interesting side point. I just thought they may, you know, maybe you could say that that the Tosis, let's remember the Tosis is what she taught, maybe the Tosis was she taught, so remember, because according to Tosis there is that, man, that's what I call the phantom shita, you know, the shita that says that Bsar Of is also the Raisa. Okay, Kalabos also Vashu Kalachus Dogma Khagam. Well, let's just see, is that true? I'm just saying if you hold that it's also the Raisa, you know, the Tosis. Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Why didn't Tosis give that teretz? No, it's a sharp teretz, right? Why didn't Tosis give that teretz? Why didn't Tosis say the reason how to say it is because he might have been medayik the wrong way from the first part of the statement. But if you hold that the first part of the statement of Tosis Ritoso is talking about Doraisa, Bsar Of Doraisa is also, then you would not, never come to say that maybe something which is drabanan. In other words, the job that the Pirugadim is saying is maybe the fish is also drabanan b'achila. Like we said, Of is also b'achila. But according to the Tosas, that part of the statement is not saying Of is also drabanan. Of is also daraisa with milk, according to that shita. So maybe that's why Tosas didn't give a tariq. You know what I'm saying? Because maybe Tosas didn't want to.
Now that the premium of the wrong.
No,
there's no precedent for there being, you know,
right.
There's no precedent for fish, for Isai Drabana.
Right. That's what the Prima Gautam's reaction, so to speak, of Tosas. He's saying Tosas gives a simple teretz, which is probably right. It's for symmetry purposes. But the Prima Gautam said, well, not necessarily, but maybe there's a chiddush. The chiddush is, Sar Dogim is also, I would have thought, Sar Dogim is also Drabana, yet still mutar b'vishul, like Bsar Of is, right? And therefore, you need the second statement that even Halos al Shulchan is mutar. I mean, there's no issue with Darbonim. But according to Tosel Shitoso, that there is this other shita that holds the Bsar Of is also Daraisa, like we learned. So then, as you say, no present, no one's talking on a Darbonim level. Darbonim wouldn't come in, so you wouldn't make that idea. Okay, not a major issue. Anyway, but one thing is clear, okay? everyone is saying that from that mission, for sure, you can eat fish with milk. That's clear, right? It says you can put on the same table. That's what emerges clearly, okay? The Ran on the Rif, on that Sugan Chulin, that Mishnah, right? On Chulin, Lamed Vomer Beis, going over to Lamed Zayin, I'm off the page of the Rif, right? He says that the Halas on the Shulchan, he says, Enochanami, sorry, don't come up, Phil, Ochob, Cholov, sorry. Okay? It's just wondering about the Lashon of Bishul. He says, even to eat it is allowed. Don't be misled, like the Pergadim, don't be misled into thinking, well, you can be dyke from here, that maybe fish with milk is also Bachil Darbonan. No, no, he says, Kasharba through Allah Nami also, right? That's like we said. Enochanami, it's our Dom Allah, feel Lachob, Cholov, sorry. The reason I said Bishul is because the language of Pasuk. Because the Pasuk is also Bashul. All right, again, that's what the Ran is saying. The Ran is precluding you from the Pergadim's point. He's saying, don't even think that you think the fish might be also Darbonan. It's not true. Again, not really precluded because he's looking at the whole Mishnah, but he's saying that you would have thought Bishul, oh, maybe it's only Bishul, but Achila. No, no, Bishul means Achila also. And there's no issue in Darbonan on fish with milk. That's clear from that run. The Rashbo and the Torah Sabai, by his Ark and by his Gimel Shah Dalit, kind of summarizes, right? 46, a little summary. Yesh Bosa Mutu B'chalov, Behem Shnei Minim Bosa, Dagim, Sar Dagim, Chagavim. Quotes in that mission. Okay, the Tanan, Kalabosa, also Lavash B'chalov, Chutz B'sar Dagim, Chagavim. So Bosa, Dagim, Chagavim is Mutu B'milk. The list of the Kornak, Atafik Achil B'Lashon Bish, like the Ram just said. Rhyming the Rashi was before the Ram, but it's the same idea, right? That it just uses the Lashon of Achila, of Bishul, because that's the language of the Pasuk. Avalhu adin la'achila, the dogim l'chagavim mutter l'vashel u'lahalos l'echol. Fish with milk, everything is mutter. Go home, everything is mutter, all good. Okay, no issue. And he says, nimtzu shlosha minim b'basar b'chalav. Okay? Shlosha minim b'basar d'oraisa. Hu b'sar behema b'chalavim. Okay, regular b'sar behema. That's also d'oraisa. B'sar d'abaran hu b'sar chayv ov. B'chalav gavar, right? B'sar chayv ov. That's only Rabbanan, okay? Which is Kachal also. And then, Mutal Gamri, B'sar Dog Mechagavim. So there you have it. So what's clear from all of that, and the Rambam also, Paskins openly, Perak Tes, Hilchas Machal, Suez Halacha Hey, 47. The Rambam writes, Dogim Mechagavim, Mutar La'ochon Mechalav. Again, as always, you can't say it clearer than that. Rambam writes, fish, and also again, grasshoppers, and locusts and whatnot, these type of kosher insects, is Mutar La'ochon Mechalav. So, historically, at that point, it looks like from the simple reading of the Mishnah and from Tosis and from the Ram, from the Rashbo, from the Rambam, Bos Psar Dogen is Mutter with milk. Period. However, the Beis Yosef, 48, here in Simon Pei Zion, he throws the monkey wrench into all this. Okay, and he says, he quotes the Mishnah, and he says, he quotes that Rashbo, all right? When we call Mokom, he says, yeah, that's all true, again, in the world of what? Issa v'heter. That's all true in the world of Issa v'heter. I agree, not arguing, the Rashba, the Rani quotes everything we just saw, the Beis Yosef, as usual. Okay, when we call Mokom, ein lecho dogim b'cholav mipnei hasakana. Yeah, ein hachanami, from the world of Issa v'heter, Yeredeia, no problem having fish with milk, and that's what the Mishnah is talking about, all true. But there's a different problem. Namely, you shouldn't eat fish with milk. Ne'asakana kosher is bar b'seif arachaim from kuf ein gimel, which we saw already, which didn't mention cholov. We already gave an explanation that he mentioned the last time, right? We said right because we raised the question. He says, "Look, he writes kemoshen is bar b'seif arachaim from kuf ein gimel." Yeah, but if you look in kuf ein gimel, doesn't say that. It says besar. It says fish. Besar dogim is also with meat. Ne'asakana. So what's the mechaber talk? What's the Beis Yosef talking about here? Doesn't say. He says, go look in Arachaim, go find him, I did. And it doesn't say that. So that's why, that's exactly why the Taz and Shach, they say there's a misprint over here. But you could answer, I forgot to get that answer already. You could answer that what he means is that, the Prima Gadim quoted. Prima Gadim in the Mishpat Zav, it's a Kotten Gimel over here. The Prima Gadim says, no, what it means is, just like it says in Kufay and Gimel that what? Dogging with meat is also because of Sakana. So too, that's what it means, like it says in Kufay and Gimel. Not like it says in Kufay and Gimel about milk, that it doesn't say. But just like it says in Kufay and Gimel not to have fish with meat, So I'm telling over here, you also shouldn't have fish and milk. Right? That's a bit of a stretch, I think, but that's what the that's how the program will answer the Beis Yosef. That is what the Beis Yosef says. All right, but again, as the Taz the Shach by us and the Dark Moshe over there in some Pesach and Kotel Dalim, right? Look at the 49. The low road, he's seen me on mine, he's harvest out. I never saw anybody in this. And again, the Archaim doesn't say that. It says Shalachal Bosser, Mishum Sakana, of the Chol of Shari. Okay, and that's why he made that pun. And the Taruvis, he means mixed up. Right? And mixed up, meat and milk. That's a play on words. It doesn't mean he mixed meat and milk together. It means he mixed up meat and milk. He meant to write that it says, Ein lechol dogim, Ein lechol dogim bebosar. That's a kind of, doesn't say Ein lechol dogim bechol. He thinks it mixed it up. Okay? That's the Ramo. Dismisses this, chashash, so to speak, of the Beis Yosef. The Prisha, we take a look here in the Shem Pei Zayin Tziv Kotten in Oschetz 50. Mekol makom Ein lechim lechol dogim. Doesn't say that in some sense. Okay, everything's good. And he says, the truth of the matter is, I have a raya. Okay, he says, the following important Gemara, which we're going to discuss at length, a very important Gemara to know, on Kufyur Aleph Amud Beis. Okay, that's what he refers to. What's going on there? 51. Itmar. Dogim she'olu bekara. That's a famous one. We're going to see that multiple times later, but we'll introduce ourselves to it now. Dogim she'olu bekara. Okay, what does Rashi mean? Dogim which are put on a plate, min hatzli, right out of the oven, right off the grill. Okay, fish which was piping hot, right off the grill. Okay, kashir roasted, they're boiling hot. Okay, and you put it on, says Rashi, again, this is Kulan Kuf Yud Allah from the base. Dogim Shalom Karmin Hatzlik Shah Roskin Nostal Toch Hakara Shah Achlu Bo Bosser, a fleshig plate. So you had a fleshig plate, and now you took this piping hot fish right off the fire, and you put it on this fleshig plate. Okay? It doesn't say it was flesh on the plate, but it's a fleshig plate, right? Kara or pot, whatever, Shah Achlu Bo Bosser. Okay? You put it on a fleshig plate, fleshig pot. Okay? Now, says Rav Amar, Osir Lecholon B'chutach. You can't, again, kutach is that milchig, yogurt bread crumb thing. Okay? You're not allowed to eat with kutach, milchigs. Okay? Why not? Because, says Rashi, also Lecholon B'chutach, Mishabasar no sen b'am tam. Because on this is a fleshig plate. Boiling hot fish right off the grill, right off the fire, was put on this fleshig plate. So Mamela had absorbed some of the flavor from that plate, from the meat. That plate was a plate that used for milk for fleshings. So the fish absorbed the flavor of the fish from the plate. So Rav says you cannot now go ahead and eat that fish with milchigs. Okay? Och asu lachon bekutach. Now Shmuel Omar, mutar lachon bekutach. Shmuel says it's mutar. Why? Rav Amar Asur, no Saint Tamu, because there's a transference of flavor here. It's a fleshing of plate that has absorbed fleshing flavor. When you put hot fish down, so the nature of the hot fish picks up some of the flavor from the plate, and now this fish has fleshing flavor, and therefore you're not allowed to eat with milchigs, no Saint Tamu. Shmuel Amar, this is the famous Shmuel Mutter, no Saint Tam, bar no Saint Tamu. We call for short, not Barnat. Okay, not Barnat, the variation. Okay, no Saint Tom, bar no Saint Tom. It's one step removed. What do you mean one step removed? So look at Rashi. No Saint Tom, bar no Saint Tamu. Im hayomu shalim im basar mamish. If this fish would have been cooked in a pot, okay, or in the oven together, mamish with meat, then I would agree, says Shmuel. Then asur laochon bekutach. Then you can't eat with milchi because there's direct flavor from that goes directly from the meat into the fish. In other words, if the fish was cooked together with meat, so that's no Saint Tom. The fish absorbs some of the flavor of the meat. Everything's hot together, your vapors, everything else, when they're touching, whatever caused it, the fish absorbs the flavor of the meat. We'll skip the Inamina and something else. Aval, okay. Ka'ara zu, he atzma eino basar. This is a fleshed plate. It's not a piece of flesh, right? It's not a piece of flesh. What makes this plate fleshed? Elayidei, no Saint Tom. Right, the flesh al kaarazu he atzma ain't a basar, ela ede no sentam. right? What made the flesh, the plate flesh? The fact that the plate, the fact that the plate absorbed the flavor from the meat that was on it last time. Okay, so then now from the plate goes into the fish. That's what Shmuel calls not bar not, right? Because there's no actual meat in this discussion here. It was a fleshy plate. The fleshy plate was no, the flesh that had been on that plate was no same time into the plate. And now the flavor is coming from the plate into the fish. That's one, that's two steps. That's what he calls not bar not, right? I mean, you know about this, but this is the famous, not this, this is the mucker. This is the Gemara. No sin tam, bar no sin tam, because the plate absorbed the flavor from the meat, right? And now the fish absorbed the flavor from the plate. That's one step away. Now, why that's okay, that we'll have to discuss, we'll learn it, but that's what Shmuel said. Shmuel Ramutah, that's called no sin tam, bar no sin tamu. That's not a direct transference of flavor. There was a, again, ain't a kibasa, the plate isn't a piece of flesh. Right? Okay, if I put a piece of fish on top of a piece of meat, it's not good. The flavor goes right from the meat directly into the fish. That's no sin tam. But here, there's something in between. It went from the meat to the plate, now from the plate to the fish. So that's a problem. Okay, that's the sugya. Come back to the pre-show over here, because we're going to learn more about not when we get to it, of course. Okay, but wait a minute. I thought you're not allowed to eat, forget about that. What do we say? Dogim shalom karav amar asul achem bekutach, because of no sentam. Even if it's not no sentam, I thought you're not allowed to fish with milk anyway. Right? Why didn't that come up in the Gemara? Nobody seemed to say that they're not allowed to eat the fish or the milk to begin with. I thought, what is it? The only concern was, did it absorb flavor from the meat? In which case, it's direct no sin tam, or no, it really came from the plate. That's not or not. Okay. But according to the Beis Yosef, what's the whole discussion about? According to Beis Yosef, I like the fish or the milk anyway. I like the fish or the kutach anyways. Right? What's the whole discussion about no sin tam, right? That's the precious taina. Okay. So that would seem to be a raya. There's no problem with fish with chalav in that Gemara. The concern was, did it absorb flavor of the meat? According to Rav, yes. According to Shmuel, no, because it was one step in between. The plate was in between, right? So, according, getting back to the Prisha, so he quotes this Gemara, okay, and he said that, again, kutach is flavor milking. Okay. Okay, I mean, he phrased it a different way, but that's really the thrust of his question. Okay, in other words, you should also have said from there about meat, you know, because can you eat it with meat? That's also a problem with fish. But anyway, it's clear from there, it never said that there was an issur to eat this. The only issur to eat this fish was because it may absorb the flavor, to eat with kutach, because it may absorb the flavor of the flesh, yeah? Okay. Now, you can answer that. How can you answer that? You can say, again, yeah, this Gemara was not talking about Sakana. This Gemara was talking about on the level of Yeridei, of Isabahatar. You know, it wasn't talking about the Sakana. Okay? Right? I mean, it was that's not the subject in this Gemara. The subject in this Gemara is Dinei Isabahatar. And therefore, it wasn't looking into the Sakana problem. Maybe there still is a Enochanami. The point of view of Sakana. That's, remember, that's all the Beis Yosef said. Beis Yosef said, Mikol Mokom, Enoch Odog, Mikol Mnei Sakana. The Gemara wasn't dealing with that issue. You can get out of it by saying that. Or you can say, no, there's a difference in this case, because the Gemara was only concerned that the concern of a fish with milk, maybe it's different when it wasn't cooked together. Maybe it was only when it was cooked together. Right here, it wasn't. It's a step in between on the plate, so you can get out of it. It's not necessarily an earth shattering kasha. But anyway, bottom line, the Prisha and the Ramah, they all feel that this piece is not correct. Okay, and that's what the Shachan HaTazbayah said. It's a printing mistake, whatever, and we want to get out of it. However, we do need to point out that the Levush, I printed it here in 53, Levush here in Sin Pei Zayin Sin Gimel, says that he says, really, he talks about in general what's included in Basar, Duma Digdi, and Sarof is the Rabbanon, okay, but he mentions at the end, Mikol Makom, again, he says, V'dogim v'chagavim, with two lines on the bottom of 53, he says, V'dogim v'chagavim, ain't by Mr. Kalafim Darbonah. He doesn't quote it, but that's that Rashbo, right? There's three different things. Sometimes certain type of Basar is also Doraisa, that's Psar Behema. With milk. Certain type of basar is also with milk. Rabbanan, that's our oath. And certain things are mutter and gans. I'm a dog with a gum, ain't by Mr. Kala for the Rabbanan. The Lord of your basar, never called basar. But he writes to the enemy, called makom, That's all good in the realm of Yeridaya, the realm of Issa V'Heter. But when we call Makom, the Levush concludes, Ein Lechol Dog M'Cholab Ne'asakona, okay, which he refers to another, Levush Tcheles. Remember I told you, Levush named his Sefer after that Pasuk. His name is Mordechai, Mordechai Yafis, he named his Sefer after that Pasuk. So each section of Shulchan Aruch, he took a different phrase in that pasuk. So the one on Aruch Chaim is called the Levush Tcheles. To take a look at the Levush Tcheles, Siman Ayin Kuf Ayin Gimel, Ein Lechol Dog M'Cholab. So he says like the Beis Yosef. So Beis Yosef is not quite an off the chart. Unless the Levush also made a printing mistake, or he wasn't convinced it was a printing mistake. But the truth of the matter is, I mentioned this briefly yesterday. Here I'm showing it to you, Rabbeinu Bachya. Rabbeinu Bachya was earlier than the Beis Yosef. He was a Rishon, he's the Talmud of Rashba. The Rabbeinu Bachya writes in his commentary to the Pasuk, Lo Salash Aglim Chalei Mo, there in Mishpatim, Perak Chav Gimel of Shmos, Pasuk Tes, 54, he writes, listen to this, B'chein Das Harofim, he says, medical doctors say, B'tarova's dog Ugvina, okay, not to eat fish with cheese, Shenes Bashliach, it was cooked together, Shemolid Tchuna Ra'a, I don't know what exactly that means by that, but bad character, bad behavior, maybe it's melancholy, or some other kind of thing, like that. B'choli tzaras. Okay, b'choli tzaras. So, this is long before the Beis Yosef. And, yeah.
Well, it's, the
Gemara
said, because of the
Recha, the Rasha. Yeah, Recha, we said, Recha. The Hurach, could be, I don't know. The Mordechai mentioned Recha Peh. Right, mouth, but and it fits in because a lot of those things in that the Gemara and the Shulchan Aruch Aser is because of Ruach Ra. Whatever Ruach Ra means, we don't know exactly. But okay, anyway, but I'm just showing you Rabbeinu Bachya, and it's not me. I mean, we'll see the Chidua that points it out. Okay, the Beis Yosef bottom line didn't originate it. Now, full disclosure: Rabbeinu Bachya didn't say it was Aser to eat fish with milk. He said that there are doctors who say that it's not a good idea because, at least that he fell short. Rabbeinu Bachya was saying, therefore, it's us to eat. Right? I mean, but he did say that apparently his time, conventional medical wisdom, or some doctors, okay? Rabbeinu Bachya, we know from other sources, was aware of medical and scientific knowledge of his time. He was aware of this. So he said, and by the way, I told you that the Rabbeinu Bachya is now printed in the art school. New Mikros Gedolos, Rabbeinu Bachya on the page. I mentioned my son is working on the Rabbeinu Bachya for his PhD from Revel. So, why is Rabbeinu Bachya in the regular Mikros Gedolos? It was too long. He's long. He's longer than Rabban, very long. And now they erase the pages that they put him in. Okay, anyway, so Rabbeinu Bachya, I was always wondering what Rabbeinu Bachya in the Chizkuni also doesn't appear on the page of Mikros Gedolos. All right, anyway, but that's Rabbeinu Bachya in Mishpatim, again, living before the Beis Yosef. And he mentions, again, while not coming out and saying that it's usher, he does say that the doctors felt that it's some kind of sakana to have fish with cheese. He mentions cheese. The Magen Avraham over there in Siman Kufay and Gimel, 55, there's no sikkotin, it's a sikkotin zero. Okay, the Magen Avraham, I think I mentioned this once before, Magen Avraham, it's assumed by many, I think, of salvation, did not write his commentary as a perish to be printed. He wrote it as his own notes. That's what Magen Avraham sometimes brief, where he tells you to look over here. And the Magen Avraham, seems to be writing down his own notes and therefore did not organize things necessarily exactly to be printed. That's why there are a number of simonim that Magen Avraham has some ha'oros before any sifkotin. Right, so this is one of the cases in Siman Kuf Ayin Gimel. So it's like Sifkotin Zero. It's not Sifkotin Aleph, it's pre Aleph. Anyway, so he says, Yesh Noagim Lito Ben Kvino Ladogim. Okay, Yotra Mashakazim, because there are some people who watch, because that was a sentence, Kuf Ayin Gimel, they were talking about until Sidayim, between cords that we mentioned. So people do it between fish and meat. So some people say also do it between Kvino Ladogim, based on the base Yosef, but Ukvar Kosov Darkimosha Tov Sofer, it's a mistake, and that's the Achronim assume. However, the Beis Yosef, not surprisingly, being Maran Beit Yosef, has his defenders, and one of the chiefs among them, of course, is Chidor. Okay, Chidor was a prolific writer, among other things, a prolific writer. He has many, many svarim on all different mitzvot nashas. His comment on the Shulchan Aruch, the classic comment called the Birkei Yosef. So the machzik brocha, Birkei Yosef, machzik brocha, is kind of an addenda to the Birkei Yosef. So that's what the machzik brocha here in our Siman Pei Zayin. Sirkot Nedarim, it's printed, you know, many, many editions, Shulchan Aruch have it, or you can get the Chidor by it. So Chidor wrote, I don't know, he wrote dozens and dozens of Svarim. I have dozens and dozens of he wrote, and I'm sure there's more. You know, he wrote many, many Svarim. He was a kibbutz, he, you know, he had, Chidor is a Rosh HaTapis. Chaim Yosef David Azalai. Right, that's what it stands for. And so he had three names. So the minute to make Svarim, to allude to your name and the name of the Sefer, he had three names to work with. So you could write a lot of Svarim. Right? He had his Chuvas, he has Chaim Shaul, and the Birkei Yosef, he has the Penei David. You know, he has different Svarim with all the different names. And usually there's some sort of gematria that's involved also. Anyways, the Chidor was, you know, I think after by the Sfardim, after Yosef Karo, it's Maran HaChidor. I mean, he's considered like after the Yosef Karo, after Yosef Karo, the Chidor is considered the biggest person. If he traveled around, he traveled to communities, he saw, he had access to a tremendous amount of Svarim also. He wrote this work called the Shem Agdolim. You ever see the Shem Agdolim from the Chidor? It's very interesting Sefer. He has basically a brief paragraph or two about every Sefer and every Gadol that lived up to his time. You know, he lived in the 1700s, a contemporary of the Gaon, actually. He lived in the 1700s. Up until then, you know, he has, you know, a little paragraph on this one, sometimes more than a little paragraph, very fascinating, this encyclopedic type sefer from the Chidor called Shem HaGedolim, divided into two parts. First part is Mareches Gedolim, which is an alphabetical, it's like an encyclopedic, you know, this is where he quotes, Moshe Ben Maimon, and early Achronim that lived before his time. And then the second part of the sefer is called Mareches Svarim. His nickname is Svarim, you know, he goes in the order of the name, who wrote it, and when he wrote it, and what he's going after. Anyway, a lot of interesting things to say. But okay, so here, the Ardeus in Pei Zayin, Sikot and Dalet. Maran, the Beit Yosef, right? He says, the Yosef Karo says, Kemosh Ein Lechol Dom Chol Mnei Sakonav Achronim Kosu Shu Tov Sofer, right? He's aware that the Tov Sofer, but he says, however, a second line, Rav Kasvidor, Bebei Sechon Gura, Heidu Sharofim Omer Diyei Sakonav, because of Harav Moruk Tzia. Moruk Tzia is the Yaakov Emden, Ashkenazi. Yaakov Emden wrote on the tour a parish called Moruk Tzia. It's available. Okay. And there in Simon Kafai and Gimel, he quotes this also from doctors. He was not a Sfardi, Yaakov Emden. His father was the Chacham Tzvi. Chacham Tzvi was not an Ashkenazi, it was not a Sfardi originally. He became Rav, and so the Sephardic community accepted it, they called the Chacham Tzvi, right? But his son was Rabbi Yaakov Emden. He was the chief rabbi in the three cities that were close together, Altona, Hamburg, and Wandsbach. Sometimes you'll see that abbreviation, Aleph Hei Vav, referring to a city that's, in America we have the Twin Cities, right? Minneapolis and St. Paul. So these were the tri-cities, I guess. So Altona, he was the rabbi there, with the Chacham Tzvi. But Tzvi Ashkenazi, he was called Ashkenazi because the Sfardim, and many Sfardim in that community, so they referred to him as the Chacham Tzvi. So his son is Rabbi Yaakov of Emden, you know, he lived in Emden for a while. He's one of the big controversy of Yonos and Abishus. Yonos and Abishus, Rabbi Yaakov Emden was an interesting personality. He did not take over as the Rabbi after his father, the Rabbi of those cities, those were primary cities. The one who took over was Rabbi Yaakov Emden, Rabbi of Yonos and Abishus. He took over as the chief rabbi of that community. And then there was a bad blood because Yaakov Emden accused Yonos and Abishus of having been a secret follower of Shabtai Tzvi, what they call Sabbatian, you know, which was a big problem at that time. A lot of Jews who were convinced, you know the story, right, that Shabtai Tzvi was the Mashiach, and it led to all kinds of disasters. And so it was a big fight. Yaakov Emden accused Yonos Abishus was the acknowledged Gadol HaDor. We have big yeshiva. Yonos Abishus, we've quoted the place he, right, and he's often referred to as a Tumim because his commentary on Chosha Mishpat is a Tumim. And the yeshiva that said the Tumim, you know, Yonos Abishus was a big Tal Chacham, but Yonos Abishus was a different level. He was considered the Gadol HaDor, yeah.
A friend of mine, I think, was taking a class in Shabbat Tzvi and Rebel.
Yeah, probably Professor Lyman.
I think so.
He's a world expert.
Yes, I think that he was speaking to Professor Lyman about it. He said that, I don't believe that the Yerushalayim was a Sabbatean, but if you would have seen the evidence that Rabbi Rezin saw, you would have also thought
It's exactly, I asked Dr. Lavin once. Well, he thought that. I told you.
Yeah.
I told you.
A good friend of mine.
At the same
time. So
it could be both. I mean, he's probably said it more than once. So it's a fascinating epic in history. But anyway, Yaakov Avinu has a commentary on the Torah called Moruk Tzir. Okay. So it's a regular parish on the Torah. It's available, so he quotes. Chidor quotes him. He does a little after that. So he quotes him. And he quotes the Chaim Kosar Ben Abacher. Okay, Ben Abacher also says, like we just saw, the Kesak Dor others. Okay, so and he says, "Lafi Mashashamim Rofe Mumchim, the dogim Chalav Mamish Usakana." But he made a difference: is it dogim with Chalav, or is it dogim with Chema, or butter, or Shuman, or fat? There might be different types of milk. That's what he discusses. Chalav Kavod. Dr. Lyman, did a lot of. He's like the expert on the controversy. He's published about it and so on. One of the accusations was that when the wife of Yonath Abishas died, Yonath Abishas, I think, had a son who became a follower of Shabbat. I once asked him a shechta about it. I think I told you, he said, he had the big yeshiva. Some of his talmidim became Shabbat Phoenix. Some of his talmidim. That's probably what Lion meant. He would have had that image. Your thoughts as soon as talmidim became, But at Shabbat time, it's because he had a yeshiva. Everybody, everyone could come into the yeshiva. So not everybody's right to be in that yeshiva. So Shabbat told me that's the same thing. He said, rebellious Halavetchik, the Briskevah, the Bitzak Zev, right? In Yerushalayim. He had a handful of handpicked guys that he lived with. 10 people, whatever, The Rav, anybody could come in. So, of course, all kinds of people came out with all kinds of wild ideas, and they said all kinds of things in the name of the Rav. The Rav never said it, never meant it. They didn't understand what the Rav meant because it was open, he had an open door policy, so anybody could come in. So the people who accused the Rav of saying this, the Rav never said it. There's a tummy that made a mistake or they had their own sheetahs, if you handpick who you're going to learn with, then it's going to be, no one's going to make any mistakes. Have your guys. I know somebody passed away recently, a very fascinating person who studied with, he grew up in Yerushalayim. It's a long story, I won't go into it now. He was an Eliyash kid, and they were grooming him. She was Chevron Yeshiva in Yerushalayim. Anyway, he was allowed to go. The Rebbe had a group that he learned with on Shabbos afternoon. I mean, it was he had a group that he learned with on Shabbos afternoon. This fellow was invited to his Rebbe. He was a kid, he was a teenager. And Rebbe Beryl Soloveitchik, that's also called Yosef Dov, the Rebbe's first cousin, who was the oldest son of Rebbe Beryl, very much resented that this little kid was invited to come. He was a genius, but he said, he told me this person, the person passed away recently, he once piped up and said something. And he said, Rebbe Beryl turned and looked at him like he said, if he could see daggers coming out of his eyes, how dare you interrupt, how dare you say something, you're lucky you're coming. He didn't say anything, but he gave him that kind of look. But he said the greatest thing was in his life, and as a book, he said, Revelva said, I was correct, he's right. So that was like a moment, his moment. And the Revelva said his aura was correct after he got all these dirty looks. Getting back to this. So the Chidor says that despite the fact that he says that it's a Torah sofer. Nonetheless, the quote goes, some people didn't say it was a Torah sofer. I mean, it is hard that everybody made a Torah sofer. The Menabach has Bachas before. Again, I stress, the Menabach never made the jump and said that it was also. He just said that the doctor said it's a Sakona. We're trying to say it was a Sakona. At the end, he does point out, even the Chidor points out at the very end in 56, he does point out, let's remember, where is this Beis Yosef? It's not the Shulchan Aruch. It's in the Beis Yosef. So he himself, I don't know, maybe it was Chozer later on, that they thought it wasn't, I don't know. I mean, it's striking that everyone tumults with this Beis Yosef, but Lamaisa doesn't appear in the Shulchan Aruch. They're not allowed to have it, okay? And the Aruch HaShulchan, is there a question? Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Where were you? Menor Chai Talmud a couple of centuries before. Okay, that's what I'm saying. Again, I have to stress, Menor Chai didn't say You know, it's also, he just said it was a kona, but that's what other people bring him. So, and I showed you the print. Anyway, the Rosh Hashulchan here in Siftez Vav and Arsim Pezayin, Karnitz Bar, Sarchayev Alf Mutam and Atar, with Arbanan Aser, Velachem Mutam Bishwahana, that's by Bsar Ov. And he mentions as far as Bsar Dorla Chagavim, okay, there's no Isar Chilim with Arbanan, or Pshita, he writes, a Yachal, Levashal, Dogim, Cholov. Okay, and he says, "Veda shetos nafal b'sifra gavsh rabbein abeis Yosef." Rosh Hashulchan takes the party line from the Taz and the Book of Rum, going back to the Darkei Moshe. There was a mistake. He says that ain lechol dog kari siga haramah. He says, "V'yesh sherotzin lekayim zeh." Some people want to justify. Rosh Hashulchan was aware of what we saw, that there was someone to justify this ruling of abeis Yosef. V'amru shematzu b'sifra harof. It's not true. Because he says, even Rabbeinu Bachya was talking about dogim with gvina. Okay? And maybe there was a difference between gvina. And furthermore, he says, and if they're right, why didn't the Beis Yosef himself, Rabbi Yosef Karo, put this in the Shulchan Aruch? Okay? So it's an interesting question. Ashkenazim are not closer to this law. I just printed the last three sources. I chose some great Sfardi poskim. Charles Shulchan was Rav Pa'alim, that's the Ben Ishchai, Yosef Chaim of Baghdad. Also, up there in the the Sfardi hierarchy of great Sfardi poskim. So Rav Palim Chelik Beis Chelik Odei Sin Yud. He was asked, "Imutal etagin dogim mechama? Can you use butter as to grease up the pan and fry fish? Fried fish, right? Fried fish. He wants to make fried flounder, whatever. Okay, fried halibut, whatever fish he's eating. Fry it up using butter. That was the question. So he says, "Bedogim mechalav meforish bedibrei Beis Yosef tein lechom nes hakana." Okay, so he discusses this a little bit, but he says that some say that's a tafka with milk, but butter is not a problem. Okay, he refers to Rabbeinu Bachya, that's just a problem with cheese and so on. But again, he takes the whole thing seriously. And in the Sefer, the Ben Ishchai, Parshas Baaloscha, Shana Shnia, Parshas Baaloscha, Oz Tezvah 59, he says, Dogim b'cholav mutar filan darbonin, miyu yesh ban sakanas cholis. Again, notice he bifurcates, and he says, from a point of view of what they call it, of Issa v'Heter, Dogim b'cholav mutar filan darbonin. No, Issa, but miyu yesh ban sakanas cholis, v'chach osu lochom, who I did lechol dogim gvina yesh sakanas cholis, avodon v'chema, some people are making like we saw. So this, of course, has practical ramifications for what we call today a tuna melt, okay, which before I came a little fish I love, okay, but people eat tuna melt, so they eat lox and cream cheese. Every Ashkenazi Briz has lox and cream cheese, right? That's fish with cheese. Okay, Ravad Yosef, if you want to look at a summary of all the shitas, so the last thing I printed, it's worth 60. Chuvas Yechava Das, Chelek Vav Simen Mem Ches. The question was, Ha'im Mutar Lechol Dog Mechalav Ubebino Bechema? And after quoting everything, I just printed the Sikum. A lot of times Ravad Yosef ends his chuva with a friendly summary, after he quotes everybody who says whatever they're saying. He has a Sikum, so on 60. B'Sikum, Yeish Lehimona. Elechol Dogim Mechalav O Im Gvina Mishum Chasha Sakana. He says we should not do it. Ava Hanogin Lechol Dogim Mechema, those who eat with butter, Rishayim Lesharim Hagam. That chilek between butter on one side and cheese and directly with milk on the other side. V'yotze Ashkenaz Nogim L'Hakka B'chol Zeh. Ashkenazim I make with all this. V'yesh Lehem Amashi Yismochu. They're relying on legitimate sources. Thank you. And then he goes, Nahar Pashte, right? The streams. There are different streams, okay, in Judaism, and each stream goes its way, and you follow. But he was, and there are Sfardim to this day, who don't eat lox and cream cheese or tuna melts based on this. Yeah.
Is there an opinion that dogim b'cholav is only also if it's cooked, not just if it's something?
I think we saw some that all. I think some said it. Yeah. Yeah, so that would take care of a tuna melt, but wouldn't there be a problem with lox and cream cheese? So I'm not sure. I mean, I asked a couple of Sfardim I mentioned this in the past, not all Sfardim follow the exact same, just like not all Ashkenazim are the same, not all Sfardim do either. So some, but when I told you there a couple of years ago, I had a Sfardi, a very fine alumna, she said they don't eat, he doesn't eat lox and cream cheese, he doesn't eat it.
Yeah,
yeah.
If you go to the cafeteria on
Monday
and they have fish and they have pasta with pasta.
Oh, they make a sign about it.
Yeah, so sometimes you ask, can I have the pasta side? Say, what's the password? The password is Sparty.
There you go. Yeah, wow. I didn't know that. But because they have a lot more Sparty students now. I mean, when I was in the yeshiva, hardly anybody Sparty. I was a student. So yeah, I got a harm. He said people still are choshes for it. And, you know, it is a striking point, though, to me, that they didn't mention the Shulchan. I mean, that didn't seem to bother the Meish Chai. You know, just says Badai, the Beis Yosef says no good. I don't know why it doesn't appear in the Shulchan. But okay. All right, we'll stop over here.
Maybe because of that color, because the color is
yeah, okay.
Thank you.